came in full. I don't know about you, I came excited. First of all, I want to say thank you for the manifestation of fatherhood. You know, I want to take some time this morning, so I got up a little early. So I want to give my dad some flowers. You know, thank you for being a true definition of what it means to be a father. You know, because they didn't write a book on it. But Lord, thank that all that you were, you poured into me. And all that you were, this message is poured into you. You were a burning example of what it meant to be a man, to be a father. I love the fact there's different offices to the same person. I love it. He's been a friend. He's been a father. He's been an uncle. He's been a son. But, you know, I know him as a father. I know him as a friend. I can speak from experience. You know, I just wanted to get up. I wanted to, you know, my dad has done a lot for me. My dad's always been an example. And, you know, today is Father's Day. It's kind of special. You know, it's kind of special. But what I really wanted to get up about is I wanted to talk about, you know, they're talking about with Rahab on Wednesday. And I was thinking, you know, all they had to do was recognize God. So I looked online. I looked at the definition of what a revelation is. And I thought this was kind of funny because it says here in the Oxford Dictionary, says a surprising and previously unknown fact, especially one that is made known in a dramatic way. Dramatic way. It doesn't get any more dramatic than that because I love the fact that you can't even recognize God unless you are God. You have to have a piece of God. So even if it was just for that second, you know, he said, I don't want man to promise. I want you to promise on God. That means she recognized God for that time, for that minute. That token applied. That's the only way the token will apply is if you understand where God's at. You have to know where God's at. Because if you try to apply a token without knowing what you're applying, it's just nothing but filthy rags. If you were to paint, if you didn't know what you were doing when the death came through Israel, if you didn't paint the blood of the lamb on that door, believe it or not, firstborn was going to die. That was a promise. That was a promise. You had to do something. You had to abide by that word. You had to know where God was at. I love that because I know where God's at. I know where God's at. God's in me. When you have a personal revelation of where he's at, it kind of, you start acting a little bit different. You can talk a little bit more bold when you know, because then you can step out on it. You know, it's like I think of Indiana Jones. When he was crossing that chasm, he had to walk out by faith.
Yes, sir.
And he kept walking. He kept walking. Right. And now that's a physical manifest, you know, a worldly thing. But you know what? Thank God that I can look God in that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that where I'm just over here like, well, you know, I know a lot. Let me talk to where I'm from. You know, I love the fact that I love the token because when there's a token, that means it's an end time. That means there's a reaping.
Amen.
When there's a token to be applied, that means it's done.
Right.
It's done. So I don't have to do anything. The token's already been applied.
Right.
Oh, yes. I thank God. I'm looking back. I thank God that he revealed the lost things and the hidden things because I wouldn't even know how to write and divide it. I wouldn't know the seven church ages. I wouldn't even see the body without it.
Right.
So thank God for that. I didn't have to do nothing. And then Brother Jay also said, he was, you know, talking about Brother Childers and Brother Moore. You know, I didn't have to fight. I didn't have to fight.
Right.
No, I wasn't a part of, you know, I'll be the first to say I'm excited for Bible study for a different reason because I never read the Bible. You know, I was always, you know, it was always by, you know, preached by inspiration. But I'm excited to dig deep and back it up.
Yeah.
To back it up because the Bible's important.
Right.
But again, the Bible's not everything. Yeah. It's the living word. I have to have someone who preaches it to me.
Yeah.
I got to know where to find it. I love the fact that you can't even find it if you haven't been born again.
Right.
But what is it to be born again? You had to have that old nature burned away.
Yeah.
That revelation in a dramatic way. It doesn't get more dramatic to have an old man burned away.
Right.
That's pretty dramatic.
Right.
But it wasn't without a sense of feeling. Right. I wasn't sitting there and felt some sort of internal fire burning up in me. It was, oh, that's nothing but the truth. I recognized God.
Yeah.
I recognized God. I saw myself in that scripture. I'm like, oh, that is the truth. And you know what? Next thing you come in, you're like, oh, that's nothing but the truth. And I love the fact that what the testimony is you get up and you just preach at where you're at.
Amen.
Because it may not be something profound, but I love the fact that that little thing, the fact that that foolish virgin understood who she was. She understood she was God. Yeah. You have to have a revelation because they also said, if you can't go to God if you didn't come from God.
Right,
so if he said that, And I know that that little hint that they saw, I know I see you. That it, when they threw Jonah over, he said, you know, throw me over. They're like, okay. Yeah. Do what they have to do. I love that because I have to do what I have to do. I have a body to get up.
Amen.
I love that. That's easy as it, not work, not school, not relationships, not families, not friends. I have to get the debt up. That is my job. And I love the fact that he will get his.
Right.
I always remember you said you can go, you're going to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven in the air-conditioned car or on the bumper? I've learned over many bumps that it's more comfortable in the air-conditioned car than it is on the bumper. But either way, I'm signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm not sitting here with the isms and schisms. I know that I am signed, sealed, delivered. I know that I, no matter what, it's not on how I look. It's not on how I dress. I can't even live up to some of these church people. But I have a revelation because I know today I came to hear from God. I came to hear. I know where God's at. I know that I can call God up on a cell phone. I can touch God. Who else in this age can touch God? They're over here. They gave you a pamphlet like here.
Let's pray. Maybe you might see God.
I have an expectation. I saw God when I walked in the door. I shook three hands. I touched God three times already. What? I've done more in 5 minutes at church than people have done in a lifetime. But Lord, thank you, I have a revelation. It's been revealed to me. And it's because I came from him. It made it so simple. You can't get any easier than that. It's if you came from him, you go back. It's eternal. You can't undo it. You can't undo eternity. Because that would mean that it had a beginning or end. That's not eternity. But the fact that I came from him, this eternal being, I go back. No matter what this life may look like, no matter what this life may bring, I thank God for it. I thank God for the fires that's tempered me. I think because it, I'm here. I'm here when no one else is here, I'll stand. I love it because you got to speak boldly, but you have to know who you are to speak boldly. You have to have a revelation, and just to break that down, Lord, thank you for the messages we've been having. Because my son asked me, he's like, "Do we miss church?" I'm like, "No." He said, "Why are you listening to church?" I'm like, this is who I am.
Right, yeah.
This is who I am.
Yeah.
That this is the manna that's going to get me. This is Wednesday's message.
Right.
And then come before Wednesday, I'll be listening to Sunday's message.
Because
that's the manna for that time. Yeah. Lord, thank you for a revelation. Thank you that I can just come in here and I can, you know, so one time I can spread my wings. Because you're out in the world, you look crazy. Talking about, well, you can't go to heaven unless you came from them. Well, how do you know? You start speaking boldly, they'll look at you crazy, cross-eyed. Because they want to judge you. They want to judge you by what you do, why you look. I haven't built a hospital. I will never build a hospital. I will never give to these charities because I think they're a fraud. But I tell you what, I give my life to Christ. Let me be the first to say it's easier to just give up, get out of the way, and let him do his thing because it's an easier ride. I tell you, if I can say anything else, if do what they say. If he says jump, how high?
Right.
It's that easy. Because I've done it the hard way, and it's hard. But Lord, it's a blessing because I can get up and help a younger generation do it right.
Yeah.
When they say find you a woman who believes this, do it. Yeah. It makes things so much easier.
Right.
But Lord, thank you for a revelation. Thank you for a wife that made me a father.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And I love the fact that when things go bad, I have a promise that Brother Moore said. He said, Seth, she'll make you a good wife. I'm like, thank you, Lord.
Right.
He also said what God puts together, let no man tear asunder.
Right.
These are eternal promises. And Lord, thank you for a revelation that when all else fails, I have something I can stand on. Because the world and its neurotic conditions and its temporal, and if you rub them the right way, they'll do you good. If you rub them the wrong way, they'll turn your back on a minute. But I know where my family's at. I know where my love's at. So, Lord, thank you. They gave me an opportunity. I just wanted to get up and say thank you to you.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking when Seth was talking, you know, as a father, it's Father's Day, you know. My dad did a lot of good stuff for us. He took us on vacation. You know, he fed us. But, you know, the one thing my dad did for me that was more important than anything else, was he brought me in here and he set me down, and you know, you put that foundation in me, and I thank God so much because I know so much. You know, you talk about all those things. I know the past, I know the present, and I know the future.
Right,
and you know,
right.
And all that, you know, I got my revelation, I got my new birth, eternity, and then also, you know, I have a beautiful peace here on this
Amen.
Earth. And I enjoy my life. You know, I've done great things. I'm going on vacation. I'm going on one next week. You know, I thank God. And you know, the other thing, it would thank God for my husband, you know, because he's a wonderful father.
Right.
And he brings us in here and he sits us down. And, you know, I was talking to my oldest daughter, and it's just so beautiful because she's listening. And as a mom, that is what I want for my children.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And we were just, she was struggling with something, and I was like, Riley, you know, it's easy to get a new birth. It's easy. I said, what does it take? And she was like, recognizing God. And I said, okay, where's God? And she was like, in the church. You know, like, that's a step. And I just thank God so much.
Right.
And I just wanted to say Happy Father's Day.
Amen. God bless
you. You know, I was sitting there thinking this morning about several things.
Sure.
You know, Brother Bram, he saw an old man down in the mountains one time, you know, and the old man was just atheist, you know. He just wanted to go hunting on his property. I don't know if you all read the story or not, but
he
you know, he was kind of warned. He said, this guy's an atheist. He's a rough one, you know.
Yeah.
And so he went up there, and he said, oh, you're a preacher, huh, you know, and he's starting right off. And he said, you think in all these 70 years or however old he was that you think I'd seen something of God down here in all that time. And Brother Branham told him, said, well, it depends on what you're looking for.
Right.
Depends
right.
on what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. You know, and if anything today, people are looking at the wrong thing.
Right.
they're wanting, well, who's going to raise the dead? Who's going to empty the hospitals out or build hospitals or, you know, do some great, mighty, wonderful works? That's all they got. That's all they look at is works. And I'm so thankful I know what God does in this
Right,
thing.
Right.
You know. If you want to see God, look at me.
Yeah, right.
You know, and you think, well, you're not much. You know, you did this. You know, but see, automatically, our mind goes back. Well, what have you done?
Yeah. Works. Yeah. Works.
You know,
works.
We're looking at what's the man done. The man don't have to do nothing.
No.
The man won't do nothing.
No.
God will do something through the man.
Right.
And you know, our scripture being to get the dead up. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, one thing's never been done before.
Right.
I wanted to read something.
Yeah.
And the devil says, oh, you're tooting your own horn. And I said, well,
go right ahead.
If I glory, I glory in the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I wrote this, come to me, I don't know, 4:30,
mm-hmm.
Friday morning.
Right.
And I sent it to Brother Jim there. But it just struck me, you know, because it, you know, you start looking at things the right way. And sometimes we just don't do it. Is. So just listen to this. If I'm gonna toot my own horn, I'll just toot it real good.
Go right ahead.
This is God. This is a revelation
Go
of this
right
day.
Ahead.
And so what started this whole thing off was that I agreed with one word.
Right.
Now the word agrees with me.
Right.
I'm not trying to agree with the word.
No.
The word agrees with me.
Absolutely.
The scripture testifies of who I am. I just live my life. I'm not trying to match a word. The word matches the life within me. The one cannot deny the other. If I'm trying to match the scripture, something's wrong. If I'm trying to match
right.
the scripture, something's wrong with that.
Right.
I don't have to try to match the scripture.
No.
The scripture matches me.
Right.
Jesus didn't search the scriptures. He told the others who were not sure who he was to search the scriptures.
Right.
He knew who he was. He didn't have to try to be Christ. He was Christ. He couldn't not be Christ. I don't have to try to be the Word. I am the Word. I can't not be the Word.
Right. Absolutely.
And I was so thankful because that just gets clearer and clearer to
right.
me. You know, because I'm a man.
Right.
And I look for works. It's just natural, you know, for a man to do that. You know, to judge by works, things like that. But I'm not looking for works
no.
in me. I'm looking for him to work through
right.
me. I'm not looking for works in the body. I see nothing but Christ in the body. Because I see you agree with the Word. I see you testify of the Word. I see the Word comes forth and you get with it.
Right.
And that is what the Word does.
Right.
And it's what it's done in every age.
Right.
It's what Jesus did. They have that little bracelet. You know, what would Christ do? Christ would recognize the Word when it comes forth. That's what He did. That's
right.
What every believer does.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless Brother Don. Go ahead, Brother James.
I had a, I guess I call it a revelation. It's definitely an epiphany. I was watching Superbook with the kids. We were with the prophets of Baal in Elijah. 450 prophets of Baal. We always just blow over the prophets of Baal and focus on Elijah. These prophets, they were the educated men of
thing.
They weren't, you know, just crazy worshipers. They're the equivalent to the preachers and the pastors out.
Right. That was the church.
And denominations today, because, you know, they're not that type of thing. So, but it was one God seed right here, and then you had all the educated people over here. And, you know, all the respected people were over here, and they just weren't lined up. And I'd never looked at it that way before, because I've always focused on Elijah and blah, blah, blah. But it's such, it was like a revelation to realize where the bride is and where everyone else is.
Right.
And
It
was, I don't know quite how to explain what's on the inside, but it just reaffirms that, you know, like what they say, kind of not strange. If God's going to do something completely in you, He's going to do it in a weird way that the world does not understand.
Right.
Elijah, the prophets of Baal, they dumped oil on their wood sacrifice, mm-hmm. hoping for that little spark, trying to get, you know, thinking that was going to move their God.
Right.
Elijah's like, he sees that's like, we'll put water on mine.
Yeah.
Because my God's going to answer with fire anyways, you know. I don't need the circumstances.
Right. Amen.
And there was a whole lot more swirling in my head that's not coming out yet, but it was just a tiny little observation that keeps on growing.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Page 143, Magnify the Lord, Key of D. Yes,
that's what makes this revelation so beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Don was talking there, and one of the things that came to my mind is, you know, the difference between weeping and rejoicing is knowing.
Right.
You know,
that's
John wept much.
Yeah.
Wept a lot.
Yeah.
Didn't understand, didn't recognize, look, try to find somebody who was worthy.
Right.
And the only difference was is when he saw himself in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know who you are, all those tears of sorrow will turn to tears of joy.
Amen.
Right.
Because it makes all the difference in the world. We don't, you know, our problems don't consume us. We consume our problems.
That's right.
Because no matter what you go through in this world, you know, even, you know, you'll go through things and you look at it. If you'll just hold yourself still long enough, Brother Jay, and recognize who you are and recognize your purpose, all of that goes away.
Amen.
He brought an end to a struggling nature.
Yeah.
You understand that I fulfill the Word with every single heartbeat. I'm not trying to muster anything up. I'm not trying to produce something.
Amen.
It's the life that I now live.
Yeah.
It'll quicken my mortal body. It'll do the job. It'll fulfill the Scripture.
Amen.
And, you know, they didn't know that through the ages. Brother Branham even talked about when he looked back through the messengers, he was trying to find somebody that closely resembled Paul.
Yeah.
Resembled the Word. That's what he was looking for. And, you know, that's why Jesus could say, you know, go back, you search the Scriptures. I'm not going to look at them.
Right.
I know who I am. You don't know who I am, but obviously you haven't picked it up yet. But I know. You haven't got a revelation yet.
Right.
But I know who I am. And I'm so grateful, you know, the Scripture talks about, I thank the Heavenly Father. That's the greatest Father of all, brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Yeah.
We owe all of our praise, all of our honor to that Father.
Yeah.
Because of Him, we are who we are.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful on Father's Day that, you know, my natural daddy did as much as he could do for me.
Right.
Did a lot of good things. I picked up a lot of habits, some good, some bad. But one thing he couldn't do for me that my other Heavenly Father could do.
Right.
And I'm grateful for that Heavenly Father that He hid it from all the wise and the prudent.
Right.
And He revealed it.
Yes.
And now I know. You know, Brother Don, you're right. I agree with the Word one time, and that's all it took. From there on out, it's been an easy ride. He brought an end to that struggling nature.
Right.
I don't struggle with the Word at all. It's easy to say
amen.
And I'm so grateful and so honored that we come in here each and every day. It's easy just to lay it down and say, Lord, You've got it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so blessed to have that.
Right.
So let's just magnify Him.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
We go up, we go down, we go everywhere.
Yeah.
Page 143.
Just follow.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh,
Let's magnify the Lord.
Let's magnify.
For He is worthy to be
praised. So worthy to be.
Yes, I will magnify my Lord.
I will magnify
my God. Salvation, Hosanna,
oh, blessed be the rock,
may the God of my salvation be exalted. Yes, who will magnify my I will magnify my Lord. My God is worthy to be. The Lord liveth. I know the Lord liveth.
Blessed be the rock.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. I know the Lord,
He liveth.
Oh, blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Yes, I will magnify my Lord. Yes, I will magnify the Lord.
I will magnify.
For He's so worthy to be.
For He is so worthy to be.
Oh, let's magnify the Lord. I know the Lord liveth, so blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. I know the Lord liveth, so blessed be the rock, hallelujah, blessed be the rock of my salvation. I know the Lord liveth. Oh, blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted.
Amen. I want to testify for a second, brothers.
Go right
get
ahead,
this.
Go right ahead, go right ahead.
It is good to be here.
Yes,
amen,
it is.
Amen, amen, amen.
I appreciate the testimonies. I appreciate what's being said, because this is a real place, real people, real love.
Right?
You know, I was thinking about something about how we always, you know, You know, Father's Day brings up different, lots of great meanings, and you think about a father, he's always providing, taking care of.
Yeah.
You know, even when you go out to eat with your dad takes care of it. You know, you know. But I thought about that. I thought, you know, sometimes we try to hand the check to, we try to hand the bill to the wrong person.
Right.
We try to hand the payment to the wrong person.
That's right.
Come on. If God gives you a check, it's not for you. Like, when me and my family are out to eat, I don't give the kids the credit card because they charging me.
No.
I'm giving them a card because the restaurant's charging me.
Yeah.
Now, follow me here. We get God's given us an unlimited checkbook, and we come around here and show it to each other.
Yeah.
That check's for somebody's telling you got a bill. I know I don't have. Nobody's putting anything on me here.
No,
Satan's trying to put stuff on me. When he tries to put stuff on you, you show, no. I'm free, Satan. I'm telling Satan I'm free. I'm telling him God's paid it. I'm telling him Jesus has paid it all. Because sometimes we come in here, I'm not battling with you.
Yeah.
I'm battling with devil.
Yeah.
Right. Come on.
I come in here and tell, I'm reminding you guys of all the bills God's already paid.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you what he's already done. A matter of fact, we had different things in my family, different stuff, and I'm asking for prayer, but I'm believing that I'm coming to the right place.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah.
I let the dead bury the dead. I came to the right person.
Yeah.
I came to somebody to remind me what my balance is.
Yes.
I'm coming here to say, what is my balance? Oh, it's unlimited, Brother Jay.
Yeah.
Go ahead and ask what you will.
Stir up your tear mind.
That's what gets me excited. Oh, I don't want to hear about how bad I've been.
Goodness,
why don't you tell me what I made it through?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me what I overcame?
Oh, yeah.
Why am I free? Because God lives in me.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm free.
Yeah.
How am I free from sin and death? Because I got eternal life.
Right.
How are you going to cut something on me when God can't even put it?
Yeah.
How are you going to condemn me when God can't condemn
right.
me?
Right.
That's a reminder
that's
what my balance
what
is. Oh, I can't be too free. I can't
no.
be.
No,
sir.
I know too much.
Right.
I got too much on here to let you put anything on me.
Right.
Yes.
Why? You go, Brother Jay, oh, you're stirred up. You're in yourself. Yes, I am.
Amen.
Yeah.
I am stirred up.
I am
in myself. Matter of fact, when Brother Don was reading, I thought, you know what they said when Jesus was reading? He speaks like a man with authority.
Yes.
Of course I speak like a man with authority.
Oh, you better.
I better speak. Who else knows it? You didn't have the Bible for 2,000 years and couldn't find anything.
Right.
I come here for 15 minutes and I can tell you all
things. Amen. Yes.
There's a little bit different. Matter of fact, when Jesus was at the woman at the well, she said, my sirs, I perceive that's our prophet.
I know who I am.
You sound like the one they've been talking about.
Yeah.
Jesus wasn't reading the Bible and trying to match up to it.
No,
Matter of fact, when John the Baptist said, I don't even know if that's him, Jesus told him, he said, go back and tell John that I've done everything.
I'm the one.
I'm the one. John, go back and look in the scripture.
I am he.
You go back and look and see that I've done everything that they said I would do.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So in this hour, when I'm standing here and I'm speaking as bold as I speak, I'm as positive as I am, and I'm ready to get the dead up. Why? Won't you go back and search the scripture?
Yeah.
It said there will be
you
a group that is alive and remain in that day.
Yes.
Yes.
How else can I speak?
Right.
How else can I testify? I have to.
Yes.
Nobody else knows what it is. Everybody else, nobody even knows where God is.
Right.
Except you said it, you come in here and you see God. That's how I was on the mountain.
Yeah.
When God showed up, Abraham said, my Lord.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He saw God.
Saw God.
He saw God.
He recognized it.
Yeah.
Now, down in the valley in Sodom and Gomorrah, they had the different methods.
Right.
But up here on the mountaintop, it should be a little bit different.
Yeah.
In fact, God said, can I hide anything
from my sins?
See? I got too many scriptures to back up why I got to talk like this. Why else would I mean, why would you want to serve a God that leaves you in the dark?
Take down hell.
You might as well just quit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just forget it. If you don't know you got God, just let it go.
Right.
Amen.
I know I got God, which is why it keeps me here. Matter of fact, the thing about it is those critics, they can howl, they can do whatever they want to do. And they say, you live this, you live that, you can't do that. I've been serving God all this time.
Yeah.
Amen.
With no strings on me.
Right.
I come here on Father's Day because I love it.
Right.
I serve God because I love it. Nobody has to wake me up. Nobody has to kick me. Nobody has to make sure I get here. I get here because I want to be here.
Right.
Listen, this ain't the only place I can be.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know about anybody else, but Fairborn, Ohio, we all could be everywhere else. Everybody in here could live somewhere else.
Right.
The weather would be so much better. The traffic would be so much better. House prices would be so much better. Oh, I could have it easier and so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
But where else can I go?
Right.
See, I got too many scriptures that tie me into this thing. Where else can I go that's going to have the words of what?
Eternal life.
Eternal life.
Yes.
Matter of fact, even in that scripture, Brother Seth and Brother Don, he said,
blessed are you because man couldn't reveal this to you.
Right.
No.
But my Father, happy Father. Hey.
Right.
Happy Father.
Yeah.
My Father who is in heaven.
Yes.
Had to reveal this
to
you.
He revealed it.
Oh, that's what gets me stirred.
Yes.
Right? That's what gets me excited.
Yes.
Amen. So when the church world wants me to be down, wants me to be depressed, wants me to be confused, I can't be.
It's too late.
Satan's the author of confusion.
No weeping,
let me show him that my other check that says I can't be confused.
Yeah.
Let me show you my other check that says
we know.
If it were possible, it would deceive the elect. But it can't.
It ain't.
Can't.
You can't deceive me. I don't care how you bring it, how you cut it, how you slice it. When it's the word coming forth, I can't help but quickly say.
Who else going to tell
me? Amen. I can't deny one word of it.
Nah.
This thing can't get too strong. You know what? If Brother Jeremiah gets up here this morning and preaches law and puts us in our shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Quickly to it.
Yes. Nothing but the truth.
It's nothing but the truth. He come up here and show me grace. Praise God.
Nothing but the truth.
Why? I don't limit God. I don't have some.
No.
I don't have parts of my body that God can't touch.
Right.
I don't have parts that He can't have access to.
He has full preeminence.
It's all full preeminence.
Right.
Oh, man. See, when you talk like that, you should be stirred up.
Yes.
Why? Because you know what it is.
Who else is going to say
your daddy taught you that.
Who else
talk about some habits that we picked up. My daddy taught me that stuff like that. Brother Childers didn't take steps back.
No.
Pastor Moore don't take steps back. What do you think I'm going to do?
Right.
I know too much.
Who's the mouthpiece?
I dare you to challenge me. Matter of fact, Brother Childers said, I'll take your Holy Ghost you think you got.
Yeah.
That's when how my
That's
daddy taught me. I dare you to tell me in the scriptures where I can't be this bold.
Yeah.
I dare you to show me that. All it'll show you is that you're out and I'm still in.
Right.
Yeah.
You tell me, oh, we didn't have a prophet. I'll show you where you're out and I'm in. You tell me it shouldn't be a group like this. I'll show you where you're out and I'm in.
Right.
And it's not even to be fighting. Matter of fact, the Bible even says without controversy.
Yes.
See,
won't even argue with
I'm
you.
I'm not even trying to argue with you.
Amen.
If you want to be in bondage, stay in bondage.
Yeah.
If you want to be lost, stay lost.
Yeah.
You want to keep your eyes closed, keep them closed. He said you're willingly ignorant.
Yeah.
Come on, that's right.
See how I got too many scriptures?
Right.
I got too many. I'm full. I'm unlimited. I can go as wherever you want to go with this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you tell me to come subject, I can be subject.
Yeah.
You tell me that I got to be the only one that's got it, I can speak like I'm the only one that's got it.
Yes.
But even when I know that I'm the only one that got it, I still got to recognize that it's a many-member body.
Yes.
Amen.
So I'm not out here just trying to go by myself. I'm looking for other believers.
Yes. Unconditioned.
That's what I believe.
That's what happens. That's why we get excited when we come to church.
Yeah.
Because while I'm at work, I realize I'm the only person.
Yeah.
But when I come in here, I'm like, there's another believer.
Yeah.
Another believer.
Amen.
Another believer.
Amen.
Those licks of fire, and I'm not an electrician, but you take my 10 watts with your 10 watts, now we got
some. Oh, pretty powerful.
It gets a little bit brighter. Now we get some halogen going on.
Yeah.
Now we get something that they can't put out.
Build a community with that.
Oh, see now. This thing just keeps running.
Who's the mouth?
Amen. Amen.
So I'm excited.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
We got Brother Jeremiah going to be preaching tonight.
Take the back seat for nobody.
I know he's ready.
I
know he's ready to do what he wants to do. You sisters, come on quick.
Yeah.
And let's go quick. He's ready.
Talk.
I took all of his time, so I'm sorry.
I just want to say I'm grateful to be here. I had a revelation on the thing. The sister came up one time and said, you can't manufacture this.
No.
Y'all always talk about how works are dead without faith. It's the faith that brings us through. Well, I realized that even though I didn't come out of denomination, I had traditions.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought I had to work something up.
Woman.
I had to act it up. I had to do something. And all the times that God has went through me wasn't because of what I did. It was literally because I let go and let God and just went with stuff.
That's right.
Even when it didn't seem like it fit in the natural.
Believe it.
And yesterday was a prime example of how I can just let go and I can die. I can watch things come up and where I would normally try to put my tradition, my way on it.
Right.
And I just let that go. And I'm just grateful for that experience to be able to do that so I can get it better and better each time.
Right.
Yeah,
sure.
That's right.
Amen.
God bless
you, sisters, brothers. I thank God for the Father's Day. It's lovely to come into the house of God and just be able to just marinate in this.
Right.
I thank God for the truth. I'm not going to be before you long. As I appreciate the word, all the testimonies have come forth.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything but set you on fire.
Right.
Amen.
And I thank God for a place that I can worship God in truth. Nice. I thank God that I know what it's like to be in agreement.
Yeah.
I know what agreement looks like.
Right.
And I thank God for the truth. And I don't know.
Right.
I think I do have a praise in my heart. Let me hurry up. Has God brought me through many things in life? Yes, he has.
Yes, he has, right.
Has not God taking me through medical procedures, mm-hmm. anything that I go through. The circumstances don't matter. God has control.
Amen.
And I thank God that I have a belief and a solid foundation here, and it's done nothing but set the course. And I thank God for that.
Amen. God bless
you. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Page 130.
Amen.
Amen.
Mouthpiece of God. High story.
Remember all the prayers that go before us? We never want to forget Sister Anna. Remember those that are traveling? Now, remember July 2nd, we're going to be Brother Lockett's party. And then July 10th, we're going to be... Brother Jeremiah's going to be going to Little Bethlehem. And then July 22nd, we'll be at Caleb's hanging out there. So some announcements there. Remember those that are traveling. Page 130.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, Brother Bean will be here next Sunday. So, and he's going to be doing a baptism. So we'll make sure that's ready as well. So
amen.
Looking forward to that. Man, that's a busy year.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
I love it. We're only at the halfway point.
Amen. Guys.
It's only 6 months in. This is crazy.
Amen.
Bless
amen,
the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, thank you for everything. Lord, you're worthy of our praise. Lord, bless the Lord all my soul. Lord, you've been good to us. And Lord, as I was listening this morning, Lord, thank you for revelation, for a clear understanding, for knowing what hour we're living in and what day we're living in, and that we come from you and go back to you, and that we're here manifesting the word for the hour. Oh, don't let us take that for granted. You can never overemphasize revelation. It's what your word says, Lord, and thank you for that revelation. As we approach the preaching part of the service, have your way. Bless it, Lord, and answer questions. Move here and speak her out of the way. Touch those who need a touch in her body. Lord, you know the needs. You've already paid the price, and we thank you for that. Be with those traveling. Give them a safe journey. Bring them home safely. Let them have a good time. And Lord, thank you for another Father's Day. Thank you for good natural fathers, Lord. But even most importantly, Lord, thank you for being a good Heavenly Father. Have your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. Happy Father's Day. Thank God for good fathers. It means something. It does count. You're missing something when you don't have a dad. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't care how educated we get. It's good to have a good dad, and it's good to have a good mom. They both play a role. And it goes without saying, I thank God for my natural father. He's been good to me and taking care of me, and has dittoed a lot of people say, an example, and brought me to church, on and on and on, and been there for him when I need him. So I thank God for that. Thank God for our spiritual father. God bless Pastor Moore and the father in gospel, I should say, and then thank God for the father in heaven, so to speak. And so we got it covered up, down, left, right. And we've been good and blessed all the way around. Amen. We've been having good services. You know, it's interesting when you're taking notes and listening, there's always little nuggets you get. You could preach this topic, you could preach this topic, and you're waiting for God to tell you, and God never fails to amaze, because when you come in here and the testimonies kind of match it, it's, you know, God's in the works, and he's on the move. Thinking not strange that he is working in a many-member body. You know, that's the thing. We do believe that pretty strongly here. I'm not acting like I'm telling you anything new there, but sometimes the devil almost makes you think, well, we'll wait to see what the preacher's going to say. And there's a preaching part of the service. We don't get out here without the preaching, but God is in his body.
Amen.
He's moving in his body. He's talking through his body. And in matter of fact, he doesn't just want to dwell in one man anymore. There's offices, there's gifts that God gives, all those things that happen. Faith comes by hearing. How can you hear except it be preached?
Amen.
But God's in his testimonies and the praise of his saints, and he's walking in and through you. We say around here plenty of times, the only God this world's going to see, many people, will be the one that's in you.
Amen.
And so, and that's not something that you work up even. You just live, as Brother Destin was just saying. Because that life on the inside of you will naturally, by nature, manifest itself out and through you. If the life of Dillinger was inside of me, I would by nature make guns, as Brother Branham used to say. But as the nature of Christ, the nature of God is in the inside of me, I will manifest God, and really with every heartbeat. And everywhere I go, he goes. And I have rims that can yield to the devil. I get all that too. I know how to balance this thing.
Right.
But the point I'm trying to make is I don't go somewhere and God leaves me all of a sudden.
No.
I only have one life.
Yeah.
I only have one life, Brother Destin.
Yeah.
And that's God's own life.
Yeah.
And that's why David, even in Psalms 139, can say that. If I make my bed in heaven, he's there.
Yeah.
If I make my bed in hell, he's there.
Right.
I cannot depart from thy spirit. It is my very life. It's my very nature. It's who I am.
Yeah.
And sometimes the out two side, two rims need rebuke. Sometimes they need to be put in their place. Sometimes they need to be told to get with it.
Yeah.
But the one thing that's perfect on the inside of me, no matter what comes my way,
yeah,
no matter where I walk, no matter where I go,
yeah,
is the God on the inside of me.
Yeah.
And that's strong for some people that they don't understand. Oh, you're going too far. Don't worry. I try to keep my flesh in line.
Sure.
But to keep my flesh in line is not what's going to make me go to heaven anyhow.
Right.
why I'm going to go to heaven is because I've been born again. Yeah. And the reason why I've been born again is because I accepted the word of God. And because God saw that I was going to do that, he predestinated me. And he gave me a little piece of himself. And that means I come from God, and I'm going to naturally go back to God, because the scripture tells me that all the Father has given me will come. And I will not lose a one. Oh, that means so much to me. And I might do all the works in the world, but that's not what makes me a son. I'm a son because I was born a son. I didn't become my father's son because I earned it, Brother Deskins. I didn't become my father's son because I was his favorite person and was better than my sister. I was a son the moment I was born and always was. Whether I behaved myself, did good or evil, I am a son of Jerry and Lisa Allen. My genes tell on them. They can do a gene study. Yeah. They can't hide. No. I don't care if I was raised by somebody else. If they take my blood or they take a sample of my hair and they look at my genes, Brother Jim, they're going to find out I came from somebody. I don't care who raised you. I don't care if a grandfather raised you. I don't care if a grandmother raised you. I don't care if you had somebody, an aunt and uncle raised you. When they go do that study, they're going to know who your real parents are. They're going to get to the real who you are. And I'm glad it's that way, and even stronger that way in the spiritual. Yeah. I come from God. Yeah. You dissect me, if he would just let you look just right, you'd see it.
Yeah.
And I can't change that. No. It's who I am.
Amen.
It's why I love the things that I love. It's why I do the things that I do.
Yeah.
I was thinking, somebody was testifying this morning, I think it was Brother Seth, you know, from your natural father, you get the good, the bad, the ugly. And, and I'm not saying John's bad, I'm just saying genes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just comes naturally.
Yeah.
It's just what you get.
Yeah.
You're like your father.
Yeah.
It's just how it happens. The older you get, the more you recognize you're a lot like your parents. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I'm an Allen. There's certain things I like. I always tease. I like ice cream quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's just a simple example to you.
Right.
It's just kind of who I am.
Yeah.
I can't help but be that.
Amen.
But you know, that's just like God.
Amen.
I can't help but be like God.
Yeah.
I can't help but give grace and truth.
Right.
I can't help but give love.
Yeah.
I can't help but want to serve him. I can't help but give you the word. I can't help but manifest him, because that's what's in my genes.
Amen.
That's who I am.
Amen.
So I'm glad you understand that this morning.
Yes.
It's important to understand that.
Yes.
Because people don't always know how to rightly divide the word of God.
Right.
You say, why do you say that? They'll think you got to work this thing up.
Right.
You can't work yourself into being God.
No.
You can't live good enough and make yourself God.
Amen.
You had to come from God.
Yeah.
Because ye are sons.
Yeah.
God sends forth his spirit of adoption.
Yeah.
That's the only way you get this thing.
Yeah. Amen.
Muslims live good.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
And the prophet of God, Brother Branham, who lived pretty good.
Amen.
He admitted, he said, those Mohammedans, that's Muslims, another term for them.
Yeah.
He said, they'll outlive you.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yes.
But all they got is a code of ethics, really.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They got rituals and orders and a code of ethics. And sometimes I've worked with them, good people, nice people.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to be in heaven with me.
Yeah.
But it's not all together. They didn't become a child of God because they lived so good all together. They had to come from God just like you and I had to come from God.
Yeah.
Now, people have different ways they manifest in Scripture. They might manifest being good to me.
Right.
But that's just them manifesting the word they ordained to manifest.
Yeah.
Anybody who has eternal life has to come from God. There's only one form of eternal life, and that's God's own life. There's not two forms. There's only one. And it's always been. It's never started, and it's never going to end.
Amen.
So turn with me to the book of Genesis. Amen, Brother Locke. The only way you go there is you have to come from there.
Amen.
We're just going back, as a brother, I think, preached a few weeks ago, business said, I'm on my way back home.
Right.
I don't just get to go to heaven.
Yeah.
I'm on my way back home.
Yeah.
That's where I come from. You know, when when you're growing up and you have your friends coming over and you invite them to your home, you feel pretty confident when you walk in your own home. This is my home. This is where I do. This is where I eat, or this is where I play, or this is my toy, so to speak. When you go to visit somebody else's home, you're a little hesitant. You don't want to be rude. You're cautious. You say, well, maybe I should touch it or not. I don't know what's your tradition of how they eat or not. Yeah. But when you're in your own home, you get comfortable at the dinner table.
Yeah.
You know what's expected. Yeah, in your own home, you know how it works. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
So I'm going back to my home.
Yeah.
And I'm quite comfortable talking about it. So Genesis, the second chapter. Lord, help me not be before you too long. I just have a little thought here that came from Wednesday night. Genesis 2, verse 16 is where I want to start. Well, we'll start one verse up, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God put Adam and Eve on a condition. As long as you, Adam, don't eat of this tree, you'll live. But Adam, if you eat of this tree, that's the day you will die. My title this morning is An Unconditional Covenant. And we're going to read it here in a little bit. But the thing is God put the first man that he created on a conditional covenant, Brother Deskin. I just read it to you right there. He basically told Adam, as long as you don't do this, you're going to live. But the moment you do it, you're going to die.
Amen.
And the Garden of Eden shows us right away that man really is never, ever going to be able to be worthy of God.
Right.
We can't keep all God's commandments within ourselves.
No.
That's not really how we do things. We're man. We're mankind. But that's what Adam was put on. And then the moment that he ate of that tree that God told him not to was the day he did die. He grew old and died, Brother James.
Yeah, that's right.
You can search it in the genealogies. He needed help from God just like you and I. Adam needed a redeemer just like you and I.
Amen.
And that conditional covenant that God put him on got him caught in that condition.
Yes.
No way out of it.
Right.
And God doesn't go back on his word.
Right.
So when he put Adam on there and Adam ate that tree, God's not like us and changes his mind. He's obligated to keep his word. So he went down and said, well, we're going to have to curse some things now. Curses the ground that you walk on. And then he talked about childbearing, all that. But that was a conditional covenant. And I'm here to tell you, Adam, from that point on, there was nothing Adam could do to get himself brought back to his original state. Adam couldn't all of a sudden start living good to get back to his original state. He couldn't all of a sudden decide, I'm no longer going to take care of and partake in that tree anymore. He would have still grew old and died no matter what he started doing from that point on. That's how a conditional covenant works. There's a rule associated with it. There's a condition put on it that you have to keep something or do something to keep your end of the bargain so that you can earn something.
Yeah.
That's like buying a house or buying a car. When you sign that contract, that's a conditional covenant.
Yeah.
Because as long as you make your payments, you'll keep the car.
Yeah.
You'll keep the house.
Yeah.
But the moment you stop paying your payment, they have a right to come take that car or that house away from you.
Right.
That's conditions.
Right.
That's what God put the first man and woman on from in the Garden of Eden.
Uh-huh.
Eat of every tree freely. Next verse. But not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
And the day you do that is the day you will die. That conditional covenant would have, if that's all we had, that would have you and I in trouble.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't have to go into details. Hopefully you're honest with yourself.
Yeah.
If God said you had to keep this and keep this and keep this and keep all the law, you and I would probably come in here. I know we would. Because before I got a revelation of what God's done for me,
yeah.
I did walk in here down.
Yeah.
I did walk in here condemned.
Yeah.
I did walk in here wondering if I was good enough to make it.
Yeah.
That conditional covenant can put you in jail pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It'll put you in jail pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And God didn't mess up here. I'm not acting like the conditional covenant that he gave Adam and Eve was wrong. Matter of fact, it's what allowed God to even manifest everything he wanted to be.
Yeah. Amen.
But thanks be to God, manifesting everything he wanted to be, he didn't stop at a conditional covenant.
No, no.
He knew man was not going to be good enough.
Yeah.
He knew man would walk out.
Right.
He knew man would break that word.
Right.
So much so that before the foundation of the world, he already slain that lamb to pay for our breaking those conditions.
Yeah.
Thank God he had this thing figured out.
Yeah.
Let's read another example here. Genesis, the 17th chapter. Genesis 17, we're going to start at verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, that means he was 99. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, you've later changed his name to Abraham, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations.
Right.
Neither shall thy name any more be Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of these, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee.
Yeah.
Now that's the key point. Thy seed after thee, because this covenant didn't just stop with Abraham.
No.
Oh, that gets me excited this morning. It wasn't just that one man Abraham covenant. For thy seed and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant,
right,
to be a God unto thee and thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God.
Amen.
And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou, thy seed, and thee, and in their generations. You can keep reading and reading. But that covenant was a little different.
Right.
God did not tell Abraham he had to do something. What God told Abraham, a little different than Adam, is I'm going to do it for you.
Amen.
Oh, that's a good place to be.
Amen.
And not only for you, Abraham, for thy seed after thee.
Amen.
And did Abraham have a natural seed? He sure did.
Yes, sir.
And he's a father of many nations in the natural.
Amen.
And he really did have Isaac. And that bloodline is carried up here. And you know, there is a real Jewish class that is of their father in the natural of Abraham. And they do that land. That's why they fight for that land. They know they have a promise from God. They know it's theirs. And a matter of fact, it really is in the natural. That's what God promised them. And they're going to be over there in Canaan's land. God's not slack concerning his promise. He keeps his promise. So there's a natural seed. But I'm glad to know this morning that it's deeper than that natural seed.
Yeah.
There's a royal seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
The bride of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You and me.
Right.
That same covenant he gave Abraham, he's given to you and me.
Yeah.
It's no longer a conditional covenant. It's now an unconditional covenant where God's saying, I'm going to do this for you.
That's right.
Regardless
yes.
of what you can keep
yeah.
or not keep.
Right.
Knowing you couldn't, Brother Lockett.
Right.
Oh, thank God for an unconditional covenant.
Amen.
Thank God that he's going to do this for you. And that's what he did for you. He sent Jesus Christ to pay the price.
Yeah.
knowing that you couldn't keep this thing, that you couldn't live up to the rules, that you couldn't keep some condition. So he come down and paid the price for you. Jesus paid it all. And now he made the new birth available. He made it where you could be bought back. He redeemed you and get you back in your rightful position. And God gives you that eternal life that was really always yours from the start. And there's nothing you can do to get it, and really nothing you can do to lose it.
Amen.
You say, well, Jeremiah, I got to believe. Well, yeah, but that's not really a condition. No. This unconditional covenant is for the believer. Yeah. It's not that you got to believe it altogether to hold some condition, because you are a believer, because you come from God. Yeah. That's who gets this unconditional covenant. Amen. Abraham's royal seed here. Yes. God already promised who he is going to give it to. That's you and me. Amen. Oh, he paid the price.
Yeah.
He said, Brother James, I know you're going to have flesh about you and spirit.
Yeah.
And you're going to have issues.
Yeah.
But don't worry about it.
Oh.
I didn't put condition on this.
Right.
I didn't say that you got to do this or this or that or this or that to make it to heaven.
Right.
I said, I'm going to do it for you.
Right.
I'm going to pay the price for you, and I'm going to give you Canaan's land.
Yeah.
And the Canaan's land I'm going to is a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah.
That's a promise without condition for you and me.
Amen.
That's where I'm headed.
Amen.
Now, slow down a little bit on this. Let's read a quote first. I want to get ahead of myself here. This is Brother Branham, and the seed should not be heir at the shuck. 1965, after the opening of the seals, in case that would mean something to you there. He gave Adam the promise first, and that was, or the covenant was on conditions. If you won't do this, or if you'll do this. But when he gave it to Abraham, it was unconditional. I have already done it. He never what he did, it was unconditional. He gave it to Abraham. Now, through that, Abraham having the promise, therefore we have to be Abraham's seed. It was not only to Abraham, but to the seed after him. Oh, I like that. Because some people are so carnal, they would just stop at Abraham. Say, that doesn't apply to you. But God in Genesis said, to your seeds after you.
Yeah.
And the royal seed of Abraham has the same unconditional covenant that Abraham has. I want to read a few more witnesses, because I'm going to talk about a couple things here. This is Brother Branham again in 1965. God's provided a place of worship. He also has two covenants. He had a covenant with Adam, the first man on earth, and that covenant was on conditions. If you do so and so, I'll do so and so. Adam would have had something to do in order to keep this covenant alive before God. He had to walk in God's way, keeping all of his word, not breaking one word. But then he made another covenant, and that was with Abraham. This covenant was not on conditions, but was unconditionally. God gave the covenant to Abraham, no strings tied to it at all. Unconditional. I will. I have. I've already done it. And that's the law that Christians must live by. It's not what we do ourselves, but what he has done for us. Christ has already been sacrificed. Not he will be. He has been. It's a finished product. Now, I wanted to read those witnesses because I want to say a few things here. So, conditions means you got to do something.
Yes.
Unconditional means God's already done it for you.
Right.
Now, you'll hear the bride come in here and say, I can't live good enough to make it and bad enough to miss it.
Right.
And the reason why we can say that and be confident in saying that is because we know we have an unconditional covenant.
Yes.
It's not on conditions. It's not what I do or how I manifest or live. So it's a code of rules. It's God's already done it for me. That's how it works. And I'm going to get into the relationship with God here in a minute. But I really want to drive this home, because even if I talk about having a relationship with God and doing things for Him, that's not conditions. I do that because I love Him. The point still is true, and I want to make sure I drive it home. You do nothing in good living to earn your salvation. Period. I don't care how many times you pray. And I'm going to say these things strong, because later I'll come back around and I'll give you a little balance and all this. But I don't care how many times you pray.
Right.
I don't care how many times you read your Bible.
Right.
I don't care how you dress holy. I don't care how, whatever you do, you name a code of rules and you live by everyone you think.
Amen.
That's not what gets you into heaven.
Amen.
God never based it up on that. He said, I'm going to pay the price for you and declare you holy and make you holy. And that's exactly what He's done.
Amen.
That's why I'm free like I'm free. Because I recognize He's paid it all. I recognize my righteousness is just filthy rags. I recognize that He didn't ask me to live up to something to give it to me. He just promised it to me. And He's not slack concerning His promise. And He's paid it all.
Amen. Salvation is of the Lord.
Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
Gift of God's eternal life.
Amen.
When you give somebody a gift, if you're a real good gift giver, you give it and don't expect anything in return. That's what God did. He says, you're mine. You belong to me. I want you. I'm going to do it for you. I ain't going to put no conditions on you. I want a bride. I'm going to have her. I'm going to buy her back. I'm going to redeem her. I'm going to give her a piece of me. She's part of me, comes for me. What she does or doesn't do is not what's going to determine this. I declare her perfect.
Amen.
See, that's the thing about it. We are perfect.
Yes.
Why? Because we have the very life of God. Be thou holy. The only way to really be holy is have God's life on the inside of you. Man's not holy. Moses ended up living pretty good, but you know what God told him? Take your shoes off, Moses. Because the mountain you stand on is holy. And why did we end up finding out it wasn't the mountain that was holy? It was the God on the mountain that was holy. Moses wasn't holy. The mountain wasn't holy. God on the mountain was holy. And that very same God that talked to Moses that day is the one that's in you and me. And He's declared us holy. That very life is inside of me. That's what's on an unconditional covenant. It can't make a mistake anyhow. It can't mess up anyhow. It does all things that please the Father.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's connected. It's the same life.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's that gift He gave us.
Yeah.
And thank God He did.
Yeah.
And went beyond the outside two rims. And went into the soul, Brother Deskins.
Yes.
And gave us a new birth.
Yes.
That's why I can talk so boldly.
Yeah.
That's why I come in here and say, get your filthy hands off me. That's why I can come in here and say, it ain't going to be what I can do.
Amen.
I know that. Why? I have a revelation that God promised it to Abraham. Abraham ended up lined up Abimelech. Abraham tried to take some things with him.
Yeah.
Abraham, in some ways, looked kind of bad after that promise. But that did not stop God. God kept His promise because it was on, not on conditions, and gave Abraham that son.
That's right.
But you know what Abraham did? He believed God. He was naturally a believer. He might have messed up by lying to Abimelech that Sarah wasn't his wife.
Right.
And you know what? We needed that to happen, to be honest with you. Because it's let us know they got turned back young.
Yeah, let us know.
Because when they went to see Abimelech, a king wouldn't have wanted an elderly 99, 100-year-old woman. Not kings back in that day. They had multiple wives. They'd really get anybody they wanted. So what God did, He put a little story in there for us. He said, that king that could have anybody wanted Sarah.
Right.
That means she looked different.
Yeah.
That means she was different than she was before.
Yeah.
She didn't so much appear like she's 100 years old. She looked probably 20.
Yeah.
She looked young.
Right.
She was attracted to him. She's somebody He desired. God put that in there for you and me because they had their bodies changed. And that's a promise without condition to you and me.
Right.
I'm going to get my bodies changed one day and I'm going to be turned back to a young man and you're going to be turned back to a young woman. And we're going to live forever in a glorified body. But my point is whether Abraham lied to Abimelech or didn't, or tried to carry things with him, or didn't, had this mistake or that mistake, that didn't stop God from delivering his promise.
That's right.
But Abraham, the thing he always did was believe God.
Yeah.
Lying to Abimelech, but he said, we got to get this room ready for this baby coming.
Yeah.
Taking things with him, but we got to get this room ready. He was a believer.
Amen.
He come from God. He gone back to God.
Amen.
Strong in faith is what it said.
Right.
He trusted and believed in God.
Amen.
And despite his actions that might look good or bad to mankind, God kept his promise.
Right.
And he did bear Isaac.
Yes, sir.
Abraham even tried to make it happen.
Right.
Think about it.
Yeah.
He tried to manufacture it. Put his thinking on it.
Yeah.
He went and he said, well, Sarah kept talking to him.
Yeah.
Say, take my hands, Mary.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm barren.
Right.
And he went and had a child with Hagar,
right,
named Ishmael.
Yeah.
And that's the line that's been fighting the Jews the whole time.
Yeah.
Muslims versus Judaism. That's been happening ever since the day of Abraham, really.
Yeah, that's right.
But that wasn't the promise.
No.
I'm talking about the natural seed for a minute. That wasn't the one he promised.
No.
It was going to be with Sarah.
Yeah.
And despite Abraham going over here, putting his own thinking on it, he still got that child by Sarah.
Yeah.
Oh, that gets me excited.
Because
you look at my daily life, and we look at each other's daily life, and, oh, you do this, you do that. Well, Abraham went over here, put his own thinking on the thing,
right,
and had another woman to try to manifest God's promise,
yeah,
and it wasn't even what God promised him.
Yeah. Amen.
But God still delivered on his promise because it was an unconditional covenant.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, if people, the bride looks at things right, but if people could just look at things right, they'd read us like they read the Bible.
Yeah.
Because
right,
they read the Bible and they don't altogether look at Abraham's back.
No.
They look at his faith.
Yeah.
And say, he trusted God.
Yeah.
He believed God.
Yeah.
He stayed true to that promise. He waited for that promise, son, no matter how bad it looked. He waited till God delivered that promise. That's what people reading the Bible this morning in church read. They don't see that he lied to Abimelech or that he messed up here or there. They see that faith. Well, if you can just look at me just right and look beyond my flesh and look behind my own thinking, if you can just look at me just right and know no man after the flesh, but look at that soul and look at my desire and look what I'm living. I'm living my day and its hour. And I don't care what science says and how much they tell me I'm wrong. I'm staying true to the Word of God. There's coming a body change. There's coming a rapture. I don't care how old the story gets. I'm staying true to that.
Amen.
The time would last long enough and they put my story in a physical book, they'd be reading about you and me the way they read about Abraham.
Amen.
That's why people put things down. They know me too well. You need to look at beyond the flesh and look at me like you look at Abraham.
Amen.
And like you look at David. I'm a real believer in this hour. I trust every word that God's told me. I stay true to his word. I manifest his word. I'm the very life of God on earth today.
Amen.
Oh, we're hard on ourselves sometimes. Because we worry about critics. We worry about them a lot. But the stronger I get in this revelation, the less I worry about critics. I really do mean it. I'm getting less and less worried about critics. Now, don't get me wrong. I live for other people. There's the other side of that coin, other side of that baloney. What I do for others is eternal life. I try to be salty when I need to be salty. And it ain't all together. The code of rules you put it. Sometimes going to work and just being nice to people when nobody else is nice to people. I have things I do for people. I do believe in doing that. I'm not suggesting that we don't care about mankind. I have a heart for mankind. But the critic, get behind me, devil. We worry about what the critic says too much. And I'm like Abraham, manifesting the very word of God. I got science telling me there's no way to have a rapture. I got them teaching me how to raise kids different than they should raise. They got me telling me how I shouldn't spank my kids. I got all kinds of unbelief coming at me. But somehow, some way, I stay right in the middle of the road. Why? Because I'm a real believer. If you just looked at me right, you'd see that. Instead of criticizing me because you saw me with this problem or you saw me with this problem. If you can handle it, I can tell you what those problems are.
Right.
I just don't tell you what they are because you can't handle it. But I have issues. But the one issue I don't have, I love God. I believe his word. I stay true to that word. You can't get me to doubt it no matter what you show me.
Amen.
Fly him up in the sky and tell me it can't rain. I'll be just like Noah, and I'll go still build that ark because I'm a real believer and I'm doing exactly what God wants me to. See, that's the key right there. He's getting right there. He's doing what God wants you to. And what does he want you to do? It's the work for the hour. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. What was the business? Manifesting the Son of Man right there in Jesus Christ. Eventually going up to Calvary. And Jesus did that. Jesus might have picked corn on the Sabbath. He might have healed on the Sabbath. He might have hung out with people that you didn't think you should hang out with.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, there were a lot of critics.
Yeah,
a lot. See, I'm learning to be like Jesus a little bit more.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't worry about the critics too much.
No.
He got so much so he... Now, Jesus lived for everybody else.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why there's a balance on this. He lived for everybody else so much so he walked up Calvary's Hill and paid the price for everybody else.
Yeah.
But when he was around critics, he just stuck his feet out. So you're going to judge me anyhow. But this little woman loves me. I ain't worried about what you think. I'm here to do the will of God. That's how I feel about it. I don't care if you think I'm crazy. I don't think you care if I'm nuts. I don't care what you think. I'm here to do the will of God. I love God. But that unconditional covenant, you can't live good enough to make it and bad enough to miss it. It's not on conditions. You can't make yourself holy. The only way you're holy is God's life is on the inside of you. Period. What's holy? Not this flesh.
Yeah.
What's holy? Not my carnal mind.
No.
What's holy is that soul on the inside of me.
Yes.
That's the very life of God that punctuates every word of God with an amen.
Amen.
That does all that pleases the Father. That's what's holy.
Amen.
This mountain is altogether holy. It's the holy God on the inside of the mountain
yes.
that then works itself out and uses the rest.
Yes.
Amen.
That God uses the rest so much, he don't even want you to treat my flesh wrong.
That's right.
Come on now.
That's what God told me.
Amen.
If you're going to be one with me, you're going to accept me for who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you got to act like me or do the things I do. But you're not going to reject me just because you don't like something about my flesh, in other words.
Amen.
I am who I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's how this unconditional covenant works. Brother Bram tried to tell us here.
Yeah.
It's not on conditions. He said, that's the law that Christians must live by. Think about that. Because I'm going to talk about the law of Christ here in a minute. That's the law that Christians must live by.
Yeah.
God's already done it. Not what we can do to ourselves. God's already done it. And it's a finished work.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, he's done killed you, brother. Locke, that's exactly right. Let me throw another one in here.
Amen.
I like it when I can find a quote from Brother Branham. Because
yeah.
that's what those find all kinds of stuff for me. But they don't know how to connect it all. I know how to connect it all. Now we see this is God's chosen place of worship. One was in April. One is, this is February. God's chosen place of worship. The other one is God's provided. But now we see these two laws. Deuteronomy speaking of two laws. There was two laws. One was the law of death. And the other one was the law of life. There was also two covenants give to the people. We're going to speak of them in the morning. One of them was given to Adam on condition. Now, you know what service I think was the next morning was marriage and divorce, by the way. Because this was February 20th. I think he preached that on February 21st. But regardless, this is still true regardless. One of them was given to Adam on condition, if you do this and don't do that, but that law was broken. Adam and Eve broke that in the Garden of Eden. Then God made a second covenant and gave that to Abraham, and that law was unconditional. It isn't what you've done or what you will do. He said, I've already done it. That's grace. That's the law of life. God did that for Abraham and his seed after him, and that's all of Abraham's seed. That's all. That's us. And the Bible said all Israel will be saved, but that don't mean Jews. As Paul said, the Israel which is inward or Israel outward. Outward, as we spoke of the other night, was Isaac's children by sex. But the law of God was through Christ, which was Abraham's royal seed. That, by grace, all Israel is saved. That's all that's in Christ is saved. All, God's second covenant. That's the one you and I are in. So let's go over to Romans, the 8th chapter, for reading. Then I'm going to come back and say a few things on the about a personal relationship. But let's read Romans 8. Thank God for an unconditional covenant. Thank God for understanding an unconditional covenant. Romans 8, chapter, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we all of a sudden here, I think it's probably admit at one point in time, we used to have law on that. Don't walk in the flesh, I walk in the Spirit. I'm going to keep all the law. It's good to keep the law, but that's not what the Scripture is trying to tell you to do. Because listen to what he says next. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that second covenant, the unconditional covenant, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Conditional covenant. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh.
Yeah.
God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh.
Amen.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Oh, that's good reading. Paul's kind of telling you what I'm telling you this morning. You have flesh on you. It's weak. It's so weak it couldn't even keep all the law. That's what Paul was saying. Because in Romans 70, a little bit before that, because all these things run together, he said, that what I would do, I have a desire for, I find myself not doing. And that I do. That I don't want to do because I have a desire for God, that I find myself doing.
Yeah.
Oh, woe is me, basically, Paul said.
Come on.
What's going to get me out of this condition?
Yeah.
Jesus paid it all, is what Paul said.
Yeah.
He said, but thank God there's no condemnation. The flesh is weak.
Yeah.
But Christ come and fulfilled the law for us and paid it all and made you and I be able to fulfill the law or righteousness of the law ourselves.
Right.
Why? Because we're not trying through our flesh to live up to it. We're believers that love God's word, that has a new birth, that's just living and naturally manifests the word of God. And God made that available to us through Jesus Christ, not on conditions of what you're in my flesh can do, but by his grace are we saved. No condemnation. I don't walk after the flesh. Oh, I got flesh problems. But I got an inside teacher. I got an inward man. I got the real life of God on the inside of me. Every heartbeat I have, every breath I take, that life of God is walking in me, manifesting through me. That's the law I walk after. That law of liberty through Christ Jesus, he paid it all. And that law, that life, is really what helps me do what I do. Now, you want to talk about good living and things. You know, let's just tie this in a little bit. You know, some people will hear you preaching about unconditional covenant, preaching about grace, and say, oh, you're going to go too far. Nah. First, Jesus paid it all. There's only one evidence of the Holy Ghost anyhow, and that's that you can believe. So I don't want to get in my top 10 and think there's a limit. This thing's, as far as the grace of God is concerned, there's no limit that Jesus couldn't pay for. And we all need that grace. John looked around, no man was worthy to open the book. That's the Muslims. That's John the Baptist. That's William Branham. No man was worthy to open the book. That's Paul. Whoever you thought in the Bible lived the best, not worthy to open the book. Jesus paid it all. He's the one that was worthy. He came forth, stepped forth. That, there's no limits to that. He already paid the price. And while you're worried about me going too far, I got a nature on the inside of me. Bro, doesn't that nature leads me? It guides me. It pulls me to the word. It tells me what it wants. It's got preeminence in my life. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I always say it. I don't get up here and try to put some type of coat on you that makes you try to match me. But I can comfortably tell you that when you got a nature change, you can't help but be different.
Amen.
It just happens by nature.
Yeah.
There is a natural pull into you
right.
to the Word of God.
Right.
It doesn't add up if nothing ever changes.
Right.
See, I love God.
Yeah.
You know, we always say it. I'll just say, we're not in here, oh, I'm an unconditional covenant. I'm going to do anything I want. I'm never going to go to church. That doesn't even add up.
Right.
Gather yourself, assemble yourself. That is much more than you see that day approaching.
Yes.
I live by the law of Christ,
yeah.
His word.
Yeah.
It's just naturally in me. Where the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered together.
Right.
Oh, that means if I miss church, I want unconditional covenant, people. Just give me a minute to talk about a few things. Unconditional covenant. There's no evidence of the Holy Ghost. Oh, you're going to keep something. I'm just trying to explain to you. I do love God. I'm like Paul. I have a desire to serve Him. I don't always do that, which is in my desire, but I certainly love God, and He gets out of me what He wants. Love constrains, Brother Lockett. If you take away the law, Brother Deskins, you replace it with something, that's love. And that's what even Jesus said, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Paul said in Romans, I think 14, is replaced by this, love your neighbor as you love thyself.
Yeah.
Right. You love God so you want to serve God.
Yeah.
If you never come around the Word of God and never come to church, that's hard for me to think you love God.
Yeah.
I'm not in here to say it don't matter what you do, raise your kids any old way. We don't teach that in here.
No.
We teach you to bring your kids to church.
Right.
We teach you to teach them respect.
Yeah.
We teach you to tell them to work hard.
Yeah.
We tell you to teach them to be honest. We believe in every bit of that.
Yes,
and a believer says amen even when they don't do it right.
Amen.
And I love God and my desire is to do every bit of that.
Amen.
But I also understand there's an unconditional covenant. That's more outward stuff. Out of the inside of me is the life of God that whether I do that or don't do that, I'm still going to heaven.
Amen.
But do I believe in raising my kids right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do I believe in what the Word of God says? I absolutely do.
Yeah.
Do I believe in dressing right? I do. Do I believe in cutting hair, not cutting hair? Absolutely, I still believe that. It's every bit the truth. And I love God, and I want to serve God. I just understand whether I keep it or don't, that's not what determines my eternal destination.
Amen.
Oh, I don't care about anything. I just live any other way I want. That's not what the Word taught me. It taught me He wants preeminence. That He wanted to have a way with me in my life.
Amen.
You know, the other one we sometimes say, everything I do is just God. Well, you are God and man. 100% man. Paul said in Galatians, God will not be mocked. That which a man sows, he'll reap that. That's conditional on that flesh. Now that got conditions on it. You smoke, it's going to hurt your lungs. You drink, you might drive dangerously. You have premarital sex, you might have a baby before you get married.
Yeah.
You do drugs, you might go to jail.
Right.
I don't stop that. That's just conditional on that flesh.
Yeah.
We're not in here trying to say, who cares if you do drugs or who cares if you do that? We love God. We believe the Word.
Right.
But I also understand that's not what it's all about to get to heaven. That's not even what it's all together about to manifest the Word of the hour. The life of God's in me, and He's here to fulfill His day and His Scripture.
Amen.
That's what I'm really here to do.
Amen.
All the other things are just what He wants for me. But they don't even make me holy. Some people have that definition of holy. Let's just say I give one. Oh, Jeremiah dresses right. That ain't what made me holy. I don't always dress right. I'm acting like I do something better than you, but I'm just trying to give you an example. Oh, I've never seen Jeremiah smoke. That ain't what made me holy. Oh, Jeremiah works hard. That ain't what makes me holy. God made me holy. He changed my life. He gave me His own life. He declared me holy. Me living good or bad is just what He wants out of my life. Oh, I'm just going to do anything I want to do. Well, that ain't what the Bible teaches me. So I just throw that little bit in there. There's a balance in all this. I've heard Brother Lockett back there one time walking into church. And he didn't put the evidence on it. He just made a statement. He said, when you start loving that Word and hearing that Word and it does something to you, I'm paraphrasing. He says, it makes you start showing up to church.
Yeah.
And not just show up to church late.
Yeah.
He was looking at somebody who used to show up to church late and said, it'll get you coming here on time. Because there's something in you that just changes. It brings you and pulls you to the Word of God. I ain't putting conditional. You heard my message. It's unconditional covenant. Getting to church early is not what gets you worthy to heaven.
No.
Getting to church early is not what makes you holy.
No.
All Brother Logan was trying to say, there has been a nature change on the inside of you, and you love the Word of God, and it starts pulling you to the Word of God. You start getting into church activities. You start doing things you hadn't done before. We still believe in that. But thank be to God, it's still an unconditional covenant. Because if I show up to church late, but I'm a believer, Brother Deskin, that's not what makes me worthy.
No.
What makes me worthy is I am a believer, and God promised me this thing. Oh, but people want to think it's holiness on the outside. It's really an inside work, inward out. If you get it outside in, that's just whited sepulchres. You can paint that tombstone and make it real pretty, be full of dead man's bones. But what it is, it's got to be an inward work, working itself out through you. That's how a dove cleans itself, and that's how it works in your life. And Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, Jesus never did overemphasize the works. He emphasized the Word. Because he knew if the people got the Word, the works would follow.
Amen.
I'll bring that up to date. Or I don't need to update it. I'll just make it real to you today.
Yeah.
I'm not here to emphasize work, and look good on the outside, look good on the outside, and make sure you keep this or keep that. No, get you a new birth. Get a new birth, get a new nature. Get a new life on the inside of you. And the rest will follow and take care of itself. Just live. Because that nature, that life of you, it's with you always. It will amen the Word. It will do what God wants. By nature, it's the way it's in it.
Amen.
That's the holy thing that's in the inside of you.
You pull to what you love.
You pull to what you love. I was thinking of this morning, as I was walking, I didn't jog this morning, I knew I'd be out of breath in here. But I was walking, and I was thinking this morning, I thought, I love my wife. I love my kids. I do things because of that love. Things that I really, some ways in my flesh, don't like everything. But I do it because I love. I don't always love waking up early going to work, but I do it because I love them. I don't always love doing everything I do, but I do it because I love them. Well, that's in the natural. Well, how much more do I love God? I do things for God because I love Him.
Amen.
And why did Jesus do it for you? Because He first loved us.
Amen.
That's how this thing's work. You replace that law with love. But there's not a condition on this thing that you're going to keep some code or rules and make yourself worthy. God did it for you.
Right.
Oh, I like being able to say that. Jesus paid it all. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him for righteousness. God sees the inside. Man sees the outside. That's why God sometimes will work from the inside out to help man and let man see things and manifest the man. But God, independent of the outside, sees the inside. Because that's what's connected to Him.
Amen.
He sees Himself there.
Amen.
I'll turn over to 1 John. Not St. John, but 1 John, the 3rd chapter.
Amen.
And I got to look for the scripture. It's just coming to me now. I didn't write it down, but it's in here. So you give me just a minute. Thank you, Brother Dustin. I want to talk about the seed of God remaining in us. You cannot sin. 1 John, that's why I'm not finding it. I'm on the 4th chapter. That's my problem. I knew it's in here. Verse 9. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed. That promised seed of Abraham, the one where there's an unconditional covenant, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
Yes.
Oh, that's what makes me who I am. I've been born of God and cannot sin. You just got to know what you're looking at. I got a new soul on the inside of me, a new nature. It's the very life of God. It's the seed of God on the inside of me. That seed that he made an unconditional covenant with, and it cannot sin. He can't impute sin to it. I'm free. I'm pure. I'm sinless. I'm perfect. I'm holy. I'm all the above. The old man's dead. Jesus said, be thou perfect. Be ye holy. I didn't earn my holiness. He declared me holy. I can't be holy in the flesh. Paul told you it's weak. Causes sin and death. Because you can't keep it. You might have a strong desire, but sometimes you're just going to do the other thing. But that law of Christ has made me free from that. I'm on an unconditional covenant. Thank God he's made it that way. That's the way I need it. Now, I want to show you a couple examples real quick. And I'm going to read one more quote, and I'm going to get out of here. Turn with me to Matthew, the 19th chapter. Behind here. Just want to show you two examples here that kind of conflict with each other. They're opposites. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What good thing shall I do? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. I'll tell you the same thing this morning. You're not good. What's good is God on the inside of you. When I say you, that's the real you, but I'm talking about your flesh and everything you can manufacture. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. This is the young rich ruler. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt not do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? All that good he had done didn't give him eternal life. That's the point I want to make. Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect. You know, this next one is really God saying, you got to have a nature change. You got to die. You got to die what you want, what you're thinking is. Die out to everything and come and follow me. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He didn't love God.
No.
He kept a lot of law.
Yeah.
He lived good.
Yeah.
But when it comes right down to it, it wasn't on the inside of him to love God. He didn't have eternal life. Now let's go over to Hebrews 11th chapter. I'll just show you the opposite of how this thing's working. Just trying to give you examples. Not putting conditions on this thing, but here's the opposite of that story. Brother Branham used this, Hebrews 11th chapter, and he talked in leadership. Because Moses was a rich young ruler in one sense as well. He was next in line to be Pharaoh. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Yeah. Moses had it in him. Yeah. Moses was the seed of God.
Yeah.
He was without condition. You say, well, why are you telling me how they live? I'm just trying to show you what I was telling you. You will, by nature, change. You'll love God. You'll serve God. Rich young ruler kept all the commandments, but still wasn't worthy. And Moses killed one dead Egyptian and messed up in that sense. But he loved God.
Amen.
And willing to sell all. That's the true heart of the believer. Not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
You say, is that a condition? No, I'm just telling you by nature, that's your desire. It's on the inside of you to be that way. Will you have mistakes on your flesh? Absolutely. But a real believer loves God over top of everything else.
Amen.
But no matter how good that rich young ruler lived, that conditional covenant did not get him in. Moses might have made mistakes and did all kinds of things. I don't know all of his life, but regardless of that, he had recompense. He had respect for that reward.
Amen.
That's like Jacob versus Esau. Jacob was the bad one. Uh-huh. Lied in the one sense to get that birthright, but he wanted that new birth no matter what. And here was Esau that lived good. He was the one that looked good, but didn't have reward. That's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. Those conditions of Esau, the condition of the rich young ruler didn't make him worthy. But you take Jacob, who was a deceiver, really. Shyster. Let me go kill something and put it on my arm so he'll think I'm Esau and I can get that blessing. Those conditions didn't stop him from getting it. He got that blessing, Brother James. And then a real believer, that's too strong. Real believer loves God. Real believer be like Moses. Choosing to suffer the afflictions than a pleasure of sin. And I'm not putting that code of ethics around that. You love God. You serve God. You want to do what He wants you to do. That's all I'm trying to say. Above all, don't worry about, you're going to go too far. I can't go too far. God's in me. He's taking care of everything. He's leading and guiding me. I am a believer and I follow Him.
Amen.
But the other point of that story, besides just giving all to God, that rich young ruler was a good guy. He kept the commandments, Brother Deskins. But you know what? He didn't make it. He was a good neighbor. Moses, he went out and tried to kill that first Egyptian he saw. Didn't get anywhere done. He had to go out of the backside of the desert and die just thinking. Despite that mistake, he was who God chose. He was said, I have sent you. Tell him I'm coming down.
Right.
Not what you, I can't speak good enough, God. Not conditioned, Moses. I'm with you. I'm going to do it. Just go down there and speak and lead my people out.
Right.
That's what Moses got.
Right.
And you know why? But that's just preaching too strong. We love God. Look at what Moses did. He left Pharaoh, money, riches, anything he wanted, went out to a dry old desert, hoping to survive. And all he had when he come down to try to lead those people out was a stick in his hand altogether. But he had more than that. He had the Almighty God behind him, saying, I'm with you. I am sent you. That's how we are, people.
Amen.
We may not live as good as a rich young ruler, but it's not on conditions anyhow. But I'm here to tell you, I do love God. You love God.
Amen.
I believe His word. I'll manifest the word of power. That's really what it's about anyhow.
Right.
But all this warrior, you're going to do this. I love God.
Yeah.
It'll take care of itself.
Amen.
Paul even said, blessed is the man who does not condemn himself in the things of which he allows anyhow. We have so many conditions on anything. Like I told you, so many critics wanting to worry about everything everybody does. Missing the fact somebody loves God. Living in the word of God in the very hour of the end. Going to church. Giving their tithes or whatever, whether you give tithes or not. I'm just saying, doing things for God.
Right.
But the critics always find the one fault. But thank God, the song says, He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs, took care of me unconditionally. I'll do it for you. My last quote, I got to put it in here. It'd be a dishonor for Brother Childers if I didn't. Masterpiece. On an interview a few moments ago, I was speaking to a person in the room that's present now. Said, Brother Branham, I have so many things that I know that's wrong.
Right.
She knew she had some things wrong. She's basically saying, I got problems, Brother Branham. And I know it. In other words, I live with them. And there's the next thing, Brother Branham, and a godly little woman. I said, you look, sister, don't look at yourself. It's just what your desire is and what you try to do. If you really love the Lord, you'll serve him with all your heart, and then all your mistakes is hid in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made a way. He began now taking man from his covenant, saying, if you will, I will. And he began with the man called Abraham to give Abraham a covenant unconditionally. That's the covenant I want. He would start a masterpiece, Satan would get in it, because when he started with Abraham, he said, I've already done it.
Yeah.
Now this is unconditionally. Not what if you will and I will, but I've already done it. I'm like that little woman at the well. I don't have everything in my life so perfect to the T, to the law. And there's things I allow in my life. But I'm a godly little woman.
Amen.
I'm a godly Christian.
Amen.
Why? I'm that seed that he gave an unconditional covenant to. I got a new birth. I'm holy on the inside. I love God with all my heart. And he said, Jeremiah, it's not what you do anyhow.
No.
I've already paid the price.
Right.
Little bride, let me repeat it this morning. There's therefore now no condemnation.
Right.
Oh, but Jeremiah, I do this, I do this, I do this. That's not what makes you or breaks you. We're all going to live every day with issues or whatever we do. The thing is we're believers. And the fact that we're believers and amen in the Word of God makes us Abraham's royal seed. We have a promise without condition. It's not your righteousness. It's not what you can keep. It's not the code of rules you live by. He's paid it all. You can't live good enough to make it or bad enough to miss it. Jesus paid it all. It's an unconditional covenant. Thank God we have that. Because I do things I know is wrong. But I have a new birth. I have that desire he talked about right on the inside of me. That's what God sees anyhow. That's what's holy. He knew I couldn't keep all this law. Guilty of the least is guilty of the whole, is what the book of James said. So you think, oh, I do this. Break one, you break it all, you're guilty of the whole thing. Thank God Jesus paid it all. Thank God he did this unconditional covenant. Says, not what you can do, what you can keep. I paid it all. Little bride, don't let Satan put condemnation on you. Oh, but Jeremiah did this last night. Don't let Satan put condemnation on you. Oh, I got this problem. There's therefore now no condemnation.
Amen.
I want to keep repeating that Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
God bless you. Come on, musicians.
Amen.
God is good. Remember the bride in your prayers, bride around the world. Let Brother Locke testify for a minute.
Amen. I'd just like to say amen.
Amen.
As thus says the Lord, this brother priest is exactly right.
Amen.
If you didn't get it exactly right, then you should go back to the tape.
Yeah.
He's exactly right on it. God did it all. He told Abraham, ever he telling a man, be holy.
Yeah, right.
Knowing that
right.
Abraham couldn't be holy.
Right. Right.
The only way was God
right.
making you holy.
Right.
Amen. But he told him, you know, we got churches now saying, be holy.
Yeah,
you
right.
you don't, if you sneeze, you on your way to hell. Yeah, but thank God he did it all.
Amen.
We couldn't do it, folks. We didn't have the price.
Amen.
Only him.
That's right.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
God.
Amen.
I don't want to get too far in. Amen.
Appreciate Brother Lockett.
Yes, sir.
Remember the announcements. We got Brother Bean next Sunday. That's exciting. Thank you. You're doing a baptism. And we've got some other things coming up. We're going to Little Bethlehem. We got Brother Lockett's 80th birthday party.
Amen.
I like the invitation tickets. They were kind of unique. I remember when he was picking on us for the Bengals going to Super Bowl, and hey, would you come to church? I thought, if those Browns were playing, that man would be just as excited as I am about these Bengals. I love Brother Lockett.
Amen.
I love it when he gets up and testifies. He speaks the truth.
Yeah.
And I remember those on travel. Vacation season. I got a lot of friends going in and out, so keep us all in prayer. God watch over us. I'm going to sing page 192, Every Praise, key of G.
Every praise.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship.